to best upbringing. And I call it an idealistic treasure. That was a treasure of an upbringing that I had. And I know not all of us have that. But at the age of 16, my parents got divorced and it affected me very deeply. At the time, though, I couldn't see that. I couldn't acknowledge that, but it affected me deeply. And I went through different stages of grief. We all do, don't we? Things happen in our life. I went through anger. I went through disbelief. I went through denial. I went through blaming my father, and the list goes on. But I was amazed at the time that I had, and I'm still amazed today, at my beautiful Christian mum, who tried to steer myself and my sisters down that narrow path. Yeah? She said, "You've got to forgive your father." You know, I'm like, "Huh? Not forgiving him? Like, bad dad. You know, how could he do these things?" And mum would say, "We have compassion." It's like, what? Don't we want justice? You know, when we're hurt, we want to have our way. And she had so much compassion. And even though she was dealing with her own pain, she was a vessel of grace and mercy. She was a vessel of love and hope in the midst of a really difficult time. She wasn't judgmental towards my dad, and she always said that God has a plan. And even though this was painful, we were going to see it through. But I rejected her wisdom. I rejected her truth. I hardened my heart, and sin entered my life. It sin impacted my life from that moment on. And I remember my mum inviting me. This is actually a funny story for me, because John Wimber is one of my... He's one of the fathers of the faith to me. If you don't know who he is, he was the founder of the Vineyard Movement, which a lot of you might not know about. Some of the more mature people here might understand. But Bill Johnson, one of Bill Johnson's heroes is John Wimber. But basically, he was speaking in Brisbane, and my mum said, "You must come, Carol, and listen to this man, John Wimber. He's amazing." And I went, "Huh, like I need that. Why would I do that? Why would I even think about wanting to have my life filled with something good? Because I am hard of heart." That wasn't what I thought, though. Like, I thought that was cool. I was cool. I just knew what I was doing. But you know what? I was a fool. And I want to emphasize the importance of marriage. Marriage is a covenant. So when that covenant between my parents broke, that affected me and my sisters, because we're part of that covenant, yeah? That, and I'm not going to talk about covenants today, but I want to emphasize that. And when that covenant was broken, it broke something in me. But you know what? I had a choice. We've always got a choice. If we're going to soften our heart and allow God to heal us, or we can choose to harden our heart. And now my mum, being the great woman of faith that she is, she tried to keep bringing me into the safety, which is, I think, God. You know, God uses people to try and lead us. He uses people to speak to us, to talk to us, to say, "Hey, why don't you choose this way?" But we say, no, rejection of God. That's who really who we're rejecting, okay? Can we get an amen to that? When we say no to the things of God, we're rejecting God, not Pastor Matt when he asks you something. We're rejecting God's way. And so just like Jeremiah to the people of Judah, just like me today sharing from my heart, God's heart for you, you'll see when bad things happen to us, we stand on the precipice of choice. And we can blame the people responsible for our pain, whoever that might be, or we can even blame God. We have choices, and we have to decide which way we will go. So in my case, as I've shared, I chose to harden my heart, and God worked with that. God works with what you give him. We could talk about Pharaoh. We could talk about others. But in Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart 7 times, and then the Lord said, "Now I'll harden it for you, Pharaoh." So God works with what you give him. You think, "Oh God, you know, you won't harden my heart." He will. Go and read the scriptures. They'll tell you. And perhaps There are many of you here that have had some circumstances, situations in your life where you've been at a crossroads and you see God's waiting at the intersection to see which way we go. But he, you know what about the Lord? He's a gentleman. He is a kind and loving God, and he does not force our way. He does not force our hand. If we resist, he allows us to resist. But he knows that those choices have consequences. And church, we're in a crossroads. We talk about reformation, revival. We talk about those things, but it begins with the body of Christ. What does the potter want to do with your heart today? What does he want to do with your life? What plan does he have for you? And, you know, Nathan, a couple of weeks ago, stood up here and gave an amazing testimony about the Lord saying to him, you can choose the narrow road, Nathan, or you can choose the wide road that leads to destruction. And I'm here to say that that is the choice we have every day. That narrow path is actually narrow, but it leads to life. It leads to abundance. But that wide open way is easy to follow, and for 10 years I followed it. But let's look to the word. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. When we say yes to Jesus, when we acknowledge him as our Lord and Savior, when we ask for forgiveness from our sins, he cleanses us, he forgives us from all unrighteousness so that we can become vessels of hope, vessels of mercy, vessels of the gospel to bring to the nations. That's what Paul's talking about here. The treasure is the gospel. The treasure is the light of our salvation. And he fills us up with his Holy Spirit. How good is that? If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray today that would happen. We believe for it. We ask for it. We need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. We've got to remember that we're three parts. Flesh, soul, spirit. Our flesh is never, it's never redeemed. And that's why we need to hear messages that the potter wants to share today, because we've got to watch that unredeemed third of ourselves, because it can get us into a whole lot of hot water. And I've got my hot water up here this morning. But okay, so let's look at the word. Jeremiah, he's one of my favorite Bible characters. He's known as the weeping prophet. And that is me too. The Lord's showing me that you are also the weeping prophet, just like Jeremiah was. And he was trying with all his might, Jeremiah, to get people to turn. The reason he had tears is because he had compassion on the people of Judah, because they would not turn from their way. They were stiff-necked. They were unrepentant. And his message was rejected over and over again. And if you have the fortitude to get through the book of Jeremiah, which I did through the middle of COVID, I just wept my way through it, because my heart, just like Jeremiah, was, how could this be happening? How could this hardness of heart that the people of Israel had, how could it be? But we're no different. That's what the Lord shows you when you read the Bible. Look at yourself, Carol. You're hard of heart at times. They refuse to listen to his voice and go his way. And church, that's what we can do. We want it our comfortable way. We want the things I just said, reformation, renewal, revival. We want all those things. But are we willing to let ourselves be run in the potter's hand? Are we willing to be shaped, pressed by the potter? And I hear Jeremiah calling out today, just like he did, is it nearly 3,000 years ago? He says, surrender to God's way. Surrender. Let him mold you and shape you into something beautiful. God only wants to make you into something good. something beautiful. And it starts with the body of Christ. It starts with God's people. In the book of Jeremiah, he's speaking to his people. He's not speaking to all the people out there. We're so busy sometimes looking at all of the injustices in the world. They're always going to happen. We have to be God's people and stand for them. I believe we'll see breakthrough when the body of Christ is molded and shaped more and more into the image of Christ. And we choose each day who we will serve, who we will give everything to. And so this morning, I have clay, real clay. You know, the Bible refers to us as clay more than 70 times. Yeah? We can either be soft. I've got Lizzie. Thank you, Lizzie, so much for bringing in some clay. But I'm going to talk about the soft and the hard clay soon. But this is what God compares us to. Let's look at Jeremiah 18. God spoke this to the prophet. Let's open up the word. If you've got your Bibles, please read from your word, or you can look on the screen. The word which came to Jeremiah from God, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will announce my words to you." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something on the wheel. But the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel, as it pleased the potter to make. Then the word of God came to me, saying, "Can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does?" declares God. "Behold, like the clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment, I might speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to uproot, to pull down or to destroy it. If that nation against which I've spoken turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the calamity I plan to bring on it." Now, who here is a potter? Lizzie? A couple of people are a potter. Well, I am not a potter. Or maybe I did do some pottery in school. that probably doesn't look that good, that pot. But anyway, so I'm not a potter. But you know, Lizzie Murray is such an inspiration to me. Her artwork, her pottery, it has a supernatural impact on my heart. And I think that's the power of the creative. You know, when our creator who has given us these creative abilities, when we see those giftings released, it actually creates a supernatural atmosphere. And here in Jeremiah 18, it was when he watched the method of the potter that he got the message. When he watched the method of the potter, he got the message. And as I've watched Lizzie in her process of creating, I see the challenges, the difficulties that she goes through. I know times she's like, "What's going to happen with that clay on her wheel? What will it become? And when it goes into the fire, will it come out okay? Or will it be shattered?" Friends, God is the potter of our lives. He wants to make something beautiful out of us. He visualizes what he's crafting in us. He knows us before we're formed. You know, he knows everything about us. And so I'm going to go through some of the process of making pottery, because I really think that this is a good illustration of what we can expect God, our potter, to do with our lives. Because sometimes we are being tested and we get all cranky about getting tested. Sometimes we're getting pressed. We get all cranky about getting pressed. But if we really want to be molded and shaped by the potter, then this is what we've got to expect, okay? So before the clay, the soft clay here, I won't get it out of the bag because I'll get all pottery hands. Oh, Lizzie, I lost some. No, I'm going to put it in my hand. So before this clay, this soft clay, oh, you know, the firm clay, you can see, can we have the next slide? just up. So you see there is a potter cutting the piece of clay with a wire. Oh, so before the clay is cut, after the clay is cut with the wire, it's wedged. So this is such a fascinating process. I thought, what's wedging me? You know, kind of think about a triangle or something, you know. But basically what they do is they're kind of trying to soften the clay. So they get this piece of clay and they start to bang it down like this. Bang it down like that. Is that right, Lizzie? Sort of. Then they do the, you know, like the dough. And that's really hard, right? I'm telling you, that soft clay is really hard. You know, I'm a baker and I know how to knead dough, but this has got to be kneaded. And it's really hard to work with. Just, you can feel it later. Is that all right? as a demonstration. But they throw it down, try to soften it, and they start to, you know, massage it, like, you know, like a baker. And I felt like this is where the clay is saved. You know, we get cut off from the old way, yeah, and we become new. And then the potter can work with us. But then that's not the last process. Then we've got to get massaged violently, hardly, really pushing. And I do think it's the Lord, some of us are more pliable. Yeah, some of us need a bit more furious work. But this is what God does. And you know, we've got traumas in our life, don't we? We've got rejection. We've got fear. We've got past regrets. We've got disappointments. And what he does, he's trying to knead that stuff out of our lives. We get cut. We come to salvation. Then we get kneaded and shaped. It says here in verse 4, the vessel that he was making of clay was spoiled in the hand of the potter. So he remade it into another vessel as it pleased the potter to make. The lumps or flaws need to come out of us. And I truly believe that the clay Lizzie would use in this timeline of the world would be somewhat more refined than what Jeremiah's potter would have been working with. You know that you know where that clay came from? It came from a filthy, smelly, dirty cave. That's where that clay came from. And you know what's in filthy, dirty, smelly clay? Lots of impurities. Lots of impurities. So the clay from this potter's wheel, all those years ago, would have needed a little bit more refining. This is beautiful, nice. It doesn't have any lumps in it, Lizzie. It's beautiful. Feels nice in my hand. But just like us, I think if there's anything you don't get this morning, you've got to get this. We've got to yield. We've got to yield ourselves to the potter's hands. Because if we don't, we won't be ready to be molded and shaped. And you know what? That's really, you know, biblically speaking, called sanctification. This is the beginning of the sanctification process. I think a lot of times this is where a lot of believers give up. They bail out. I've wanted to bail out many times. I've wanted to run for the hills and just be a hard piece of clay. I have. But we must be squeezed. We must be crushed. We must be manipulated into the form that he wants. And we must withstand the test. We must. It's actually for good. It's actually to make you into something beautiful. It's the preparation times, and we're in preparation time now. At the start of 2020, before COVID, God told me that we need four paws. I have that on one of my dogs, four paws. He said we need four P's, and he said their purpose, preparation, position, and purity. And that's where God's trying to get his church right now. He's trying to give us a clear understanding of what our purpose is. Each of us, it's different. But as a whole, it makes something amazing. We've got to prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for the Lord. We've got to position ourselves in our place, in our gifting, in our talents, and we've got to be pure and holy. And God's not playing with us today, guys. He's not experimenting. He has purpose in how he has shaped us, and that comforts me. He has a plan, and he knows what he's doing. And when God puts us on the wheel of life circumstances, he means to accomplish something. So God squeezes the excess like that. Just go back to the one squeezing the excesses. And even though those things we think are good qualities that tend to lead to pride, they must be squeezed out of us. And here in Jeremiah, the original will for that piece of clay was not fulfilled, and he had to change his plans. He had to think up something else to do with that lump of clay because it was not responding. And he was saying, Oh Israel, are you not in my hand? He's saying to you today, oh Church of New Hope Brisbane, are you not in my hand? I want to make you into vessels of grace and mercy, hope and power and love to the nations. That's what he was saying to Israel. That's what I want to do. That's what he's saying to us today. The prophet Jeremiah is calling out to us. Clay, will you respond? I want to make you into something beautiful, but you would not conform. Will you conform? You will not respond to my hands, and you are my spoiling in my hands, and it's not my fault, it's yours. And I was praying a couple of weeks ago and preparing, and I felt like the Lord said the potter wants the clay wants their own way. The clay wants their own way. We think we know how to make the best of our lives, and we just want God around the edges. But we've got to see that that's just going to be wasted away. You know, ultimately, clay turns to dust. Yeah. But if we allow God to shape us and mold us into something beautiful, we can be used for his season, for his time, to be something so beautiful. We must relent to his way. And I believe today's a day of repentance. We can choose to completely yield to his way or not. We can become, you know, I hate to use this word, but it's true, and he wants me to say, we can become so arrogant. So arrogant, like we know better. Is that true? Everyone's all quiet now. We're thinking we hold our destiny in our hands. And the truth is, we actually do. Like I shared before, we can become hard clay, we can harden our hearts, or we can be soft in the hands of God and allow him to make us into his vessel. Or we can be like Israel, like I keep repeating. I keep repeating it because God wants to make it clear. We have the Word of God, which is life, but do we learn lessons? Do we learn his way? We can only blame ourselves, not God. The potter wants to make us beautiful, but he can't if we've never yielded. Have we refused the way of the master? He had me write down. Have we refused the way of the master? Let's go the master's way, yeah? And let's just look at Isaiah 29, verse 16. It says, you turn things around, so the potter be considered as equal with the clay, or what is made would say to its maker, he did not make me, or what is formed say to him who formed it, he has no understanding. That is sheer ignorance. It's sheer arrogance to talk like that. It's the clay grumbling about the potter. It's the creature telling the creator, I'm not satisfied with you. And it's just an incredible attitude. It's an incredible attitude to have that towards God. But you know, I do it. I'm sure I've heard a lot of you do it too. Just quietly for 15 years, I've heard it. And you know what? It's like us saying, God, you're doing a bad job, sorry. And we could do a much better job than you. We know better. We know better than God. We must repent of that way of thinking. We must renew our minds, humble ourselves under the hand of the Lord God Almighty, who is the potter, who molds the clay. He made us tiny little people. In Isaiah, like these little pots here are a symbol. This is who we are. Tiny little pots of clay. I'm not trying to diminish the power of God in your life. I'm just trying to get things into perspective. God is the Almighty. When we allow the Almighty to shape us, we can be a powerful force of good in our community, in our city, in our nation. But if we think we know better than God, we're not going to achieve anything. We're not going to achieve anything. Look at this stuff. It's tiny. And I had this poster up in my office, and I have it up there because I constantly declare it. I don't know if you've seen one of these. It's from Greg Vidal Ministries. But I basically, when I'm feeling a bit like, oh, life's too hard, I go, God, you are the great I am. God, you are the Alpha and Omega. God, you are the beginning and the end. God, you are the bright and morning star. God, you are beside, you are the good shepherd who leads me beside still waters. You never leave me or forsake me. You're great. And I belong to you. And I feel good about that. And I feel very good when I, in my heart, I think, wow, he's got it. He's got it. And I just keep being run in his hands. God is not a God of luck. God is not a God of luck. Salvation is not a lottery. God does not just choose one out of the bucket. I actually heard David Pawson speak this. I was listening to one of his messages. He's such a great teacher of the Word of God. I'd encourage any of you, if you want to hear a great man of God who's passed now, but David Pawson, he said, God does not just choose one out of a bucket and say, I'll show mercy to that one and not to the other. That is not how God operates. There is no such thing as luck or chance with God. You can either live by God or live by gambling. You can gamble and live by luck and chance, or you can trust in God. God is not a God of chance. That is not the God we worship. So are you yielding to God or are you opposing him? So then after the potter's cut the clay, like I said, that's like the salvation, our surrender to the will of the potter. And it's here where he wedges it in, he shapes it, he presses on it. He begins to remove the impurities. He's taking the air out of it because we're not going our way anymore, are we? We're going the way of truth. We're going the way of life. And so that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Liz was explaining to me that they actually form it into a ram's head. And that's a totally different, I could take that. Is that right, Lizzie? Yeah, like they know that it's ready when it's formed into a ram's head. And I was thinking, wow, I could spend another message on that, but I won't. I'll just keep going. I was reminded that God sent a ram to replace Isaac on the altar as a sacrifice. And surrender. It's surrender. O clay, and see what I will do. Surrender, O clay, and see what I will do. When we surrender, that's when really the exciting stages start to unfold on the potter's wheel. Are you getting excited like I am? They get the clay, and it goes on the wheel. Can I get to that slide? And it's when the and I just want to emphasize this point really clear. It's when the clay is ready, not the potter. It's when the clay's ready. Do you get that? Am I hearing a yes? No? Yeah. The potter cannot start to work with the clay until the clay is ready. Where the clay? When we say, yes, Lord, have your way with me. We sing it up here, don't we? Have your way in me, O Lord. I kind of laugh sometimes when we're singing songs up here. Because I think we make declarations with our mouth that our heart can't keep. We say things. We're going to do this, Lord. I'm going to be this for you. I'm going to be that for you. but then we don't do them. Anyway, that's another story too. It's a thing of beauty, though, to watch a potter take a piece of clay like this and watch it take shape in the potter's hand. And you see the pot spinning. It's faster and faster and faster. I don't even know how that potter holds that thing in their hands. But it's spinning out of control. It's spinning out of control. And as it's spinning out of control, Lizzie could probably explain this better than I do. It turns faster and faster. And in the potter's hand, a shape begins to form. Your unique creation. Every single one of you, a unique creation. Never forget that you were not mass-produced on an assembly line. You were thought of in the mind of God, in the heart of God. And you were created for his purpose, not for men's, for God's. You're the only vessel on the line. You're the only vessel on the line, the only piece of clay on that wheel. He doesn't make 10 pieces of clay at a time. He makes one at a time. It's a precise, loving, beautiful way that he makes and he creates. And then the potter trims the piece. Once it's finished, they take all the rough edges off, from the bottom and around here. Lizzie could explain it, but I've watched her, so I ask her lots of questions, and it's nice and smooth on the bottom. This is a piece of clay that hasn't been fired yet. But basically what happens after they've done all that and they've got it in their nice smooth shape, then the potter isolates the clay and puts it away for a period of time so that it totally dries out. It has to be isolated, it has to dry out, and it's hiding away for its time so that it can become completely dry and its texture is ready to be fired. Isolation processes are important. It's where we grow. It's where we grow. And then next comes the fire. This is exciting now. We're getting in the fire. So we've been cut, we've been wedged, we've been spun, we've been trimmed, we've been dried. We've been isolated. And then we're placed in the furnace. Woo! We're in the fire now, friends. Yeah. And Lizzie was telling me this is actually quite a tense time, because if that clay is not 100% completely dry, that pot is going to blow up in the fire. It is going to be dust. You know what? It's the trials, it's the tribulations that burn the imperfections out of us and bring us to the point of where we can be used as people for God's purposes. You know, John Wesley, a great, great man, went to America. He visualized himself as a missionary to the Native Americans in Georgia, and he came back miserable. He was a miserable failure in America. He was discouraged. He was disheartened. He was ready to give up. Who's ever felt like they're ready to give up? Only a few are honest here. And then out of the fiery trial of that, John Wesley received a vision that sparked revival throughout the entire church world. Zechariah 13 says, "And I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined, and I will test them as gold is tested. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, they are my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." So if you feel today like you're in the fire, praise God. Stay in that furnace and allow God to do all that he wants to do through your situation. God will not force you. He will not make you enter his realm. Our God says, "I'll make one plan for you and then I'll change it." Jeremiah 11, 29 says so. And if you respond to that, then he'll carry out the plan. But if you don't respond, then he'll say, "We'll devise another plan," like he did with that piece of clay. "And I will still use you, but in an entirely different way." That's how creative and amazing he is. You cannot refuse to be used by God. You can choose to be a vessel for his wrath or his mercy. And it's the potter saying, "I would love to do this with you, but if you don't respond, I will instead do something else." And today, There might be some here who are not now where God's planned for you to be in your life. Perhaps you've believed the lie that you're powerless to change your destiny. There are people here for whom God had a dream and a vision to shape you a certain way, to use you in a certain way, and you didn't respond. Some of you kept to yourselves the best days of your life. That's me. 10 years I shared earlier that I could have given to God, but I'm trying to redeem them now. I'm trying to catch up. You know what? God said to the Israelites in Jeremiah, if you want to follow your own plans and you've kept that plan, has God been defeated because you've chosen your plan? Has God been defeated? No, God hasn't. It may not be the original plan, but he can still use you as he wants to because he's creative and kind. He can change plans and still use you for a good purpose. He can make something good out of you. It's an appeal today. Clay, clay, will you respond? People, people, will you respond? Will you amend your ways so that I can work with that? The response is up to us. There's an old song I love. I'm not going to sing it because that's not my gifting. It goes like this. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion you understood. All I had to offer you was brokenness and strife, but you made something beautiful out of my life. And there was a time in my life that I thought that I could never be used by God. I thought I was worthless. I was a sinner. A broken vessel. A hard, hard piece of clay. And I would even, this is worse than anything, justify my sin. Such was my deception. That's deception. When we start to justify our sin, believing lies. The Word of God tells us we'll see the days when they'll say good is evil and evil is good. And I know that I've lived that way. I've thought like that. I took the holiness of God and I darkened his mercy and grace with my filth, with my darkness. Now, that's where the clay comes from. You know, I said it. The dark, filthy clay comes from the filthy, smelly clay cave. But you know what? My favorite psalm is Psalm 103. And I don't want you to grow weary because that psalm says, praise my soul, O the Lord. All my innermost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. And crowns, I'm going to say me, and crowns me with love and compassion. He satisfies my desires and yours with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the story of my life. That's the story of my life. I'm fully given over to my Redeemer and I praise him for him. I praise him for it because in him is abundance of life and a cup overflowing. And I have a crown on my head and a joy in my heart that my King of the universe took me in his hands and shaped me and continues to shape me as he wills. And I feel that today that God wants to make something beautiful out of you. There's people here that you feel that you're too far gone, that God cannot do anything. I think there's people here that can come and speak. There's people that God has an evangelism anointing on. In this room, there's apostles, prophets, teachers. Yeah? And God wants to awaken his people to their position. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's what God uses, those offices. And I can look back on my life and know that it was when I yielded my life to God. And that's what he's saying to you today. Will you yield your life to the potter? Because I can tell you right now, it's actually not easy to do that because of that third part flesh. But it's essential. And God will reinforce your choice. And this is a hard bit to say. And I'm going to keep going. Is that okay? And right at the end of the Bible, he says, he that is filthy, let him still be filthy. He that is clean, let him be clean still. Revelation 22:11 says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. In other words, there comes a point when God says to everyone, from now on, you stay as you are and I'll help you with your choice. Now that is how God deals with people. He shows mercy to those that ask for mercy, and he hardens the hearts of those who choose to harden their hearts towards him. But if you will just run in the potter's hands today, that is my plea. If you will just run in the potter's hands, you will be a people so beautiful, so full of love, so full of hope, carriers of justice to the nation. And the nation is crying out. Or you could be a vessel of wrath, a vessel of judgment, a vessel of no use, a vessel that will become dust before it's your time. And I can just close with this. You know, Lizzie inspires me. I've said that over and over. Her work, it encourages me. And she started to sell her pottery online. And so I went to her site and because I wanted to buy something. I wanted to buy something from Lizzie. And I saw this cup called Carol. She made a cup called Carol. And when I saw it, just like I am now, I just cried like a river. And I saw it as a prophetic symbol for me, for this ministry, for my ministry, for Matt's ministry, for this church, that there's a completion for all of the things of God to come to pass. And I've been cut on the wire. I've been wedged by the Lord. I've been pressed. I've been spun. I've been trimmed. I've been fired. But I'm finished. I'm finished. I'm completed. I'm not so foolish or ignorant to think that I'm finished. I'm saying it as a prophetic symbol that the Lord showed me. I know he's still got a great work to do. But he's saying to you today, let me cut you. Let me wedge you. Let me press on you. And I will make you into something beautiful. God's doing something. He's birthing something. Revival is within us. It's up to us. We are the revival fire, not something else. God's people. Hearing people singing this morning, hearing their voices, that's revival. Not just hearing the worship leaders, but hearing the voices of you, that's revival. So purpose, find our purpose, get prepared, get in position and purify your heart before the Lord. Church, God is not playing with us today. He's not experimenting. He has a purpose and he's shaping us. And I'd encourage anyone of you, because we're closing now. You can have the worship team come up. I actually sense that just like grapes are pressed to make new wine. We talk about we want new wine. You know, there's new wine and new wineskins. That's got to be pressed. It's got to be crushed. It's got to acknowledge who the one is that's the great I am. God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. He's glorious. And he wants to make us glorious. Can you stand? Lord God, we just thank you for this time together, and Lord, we just ask your Holy Spirit to come and minister to hearts and minds right now. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon each person here this morning, each vessel of love and mercy and grace and beauty that you've put here this morning. I sense that there's people here that are afraid to let the potter take control. And I feel he wants you to come to the altar because he wants to do something that only he can do this morning. Those that have any fear about allowing God to have his way, he wants you to relent your heart today. He wants to release a fresh fire upon you. And you know what? The devil tries to, he's a liar. He is the author of fear. But today God says, fear me only. So I just encourage those that feel that they want to be purified by the refiner's fire to come to the altar. Saying it's time. It's time.
I'm just going to ask the prayer team to come, and I don't think I need to ask much today because I think everyone's been so moved by this message already. But if you need to come, come. Come to the altar. And this is like the potter's wheel out here. Come out here and we'll lay hands on you and let the Lord mold you. Let him do a work in you. I really believe that this is part of the move of God that we're seeing right now. God is purifying us. He's making us something beautiful. He's doing a deep work in us. Come to the altar. Come to the Father today. Just come up forward here. You come and pray for people. I really believe the Lord's going to do a deep work in people's lives today. Come and confess your sins. Come and turn from your old ways. Come with a soft heart so the Lord can work in you today. The Lord's bumping off the rough edges. He's purifying us in the fire. Come to the altar today. Some of you are here and you haven't ever come to the altar before. You thought, no, I don't need that. That's for everyone else. I'm telling you, don't miss out on what God is doing here today. Come and do business with God today. Come to the altar. Let's worship.
We come.